setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. It's all about you, because you were created to fill a unique role, that is, to contribute to this world through your work. That means you are needed. It means you must do it. Somebody out there needs you to be you. And I can tell you this, if you've been laid off, if you've been furloughed, if you had to shut something down, it doesn't mean your dream is dead. It hasn't evaporated with this crisis. Everything I said to start the show is, in fact, still true. And I want to help you. You're dealing with fear. You're dealing with some doubt. Not sure how to get there. Dealing with maybe some pride. I don't want to ask for help. Whatever the issue is, I'm here for you. 844-747-2577. Equal parts counselor, cheerleader, and coach. So today's the day. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. We're going to start with Cisco, who's on the line in Austin, Texas. Cisco, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Great to talk to you. Thank you for taking my call today.
Great to talk with you. I got to tell you, that's one of the coolest names ever. I wish my name was Cisco Coleman. I think I would be much cooler if that was the case.
Oh, yes, that'd be great. Ken is great, though, too.
Awesome. Thank you. How can I help?
Right now, I'm in the discovery stage. Currently, I'm a high school teacher and coach. I love working with kids and people, but I'm kind of getting burned out. I kind of feel like I'm not using all my skills, and I would like a position where maybe there's upward mobility, and I'm compensated for that. Mm-hmm. And I guess the big thing that's kind of weighing is, regardless of how great I teach or how bad I teach, there's no growth there financially or position-wise next year.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Cisco, you just identified why you really called me today. It's not that you don't know your passion. It's not that you're in the discovery phase. I think that you are doing the right thing. You are certainly within your sweet spot. That's what I believe. We're going to verify this in a moment. But I want to reframe your mind here, because I believe that why you called is because there's no ladder. And yes, human beings, we desire progress. And no matter how good you teach or how good you coach, your upward mobility professionally and financially doesn't change. There is no mobility. So I suggest to you that I think that's where you really are. Do you think that is the case? Am I right or am I a little off?
I think you're fairly on. I want to work with people. I love helping people.
Mm-hmm. Who do you love to work with the most?
That's hard to say. On a side caveat, I teach GED classes at night. Mm-hmm. That I really love.
Why?
The pay is not great.
Why?
But that I really love.
Why?
I'm helping them, and it's meaningful every day. Those are my long days.
What's the difference?
9:30 p.m.
Oh, this is great. We're close.
I made a difference that day.
Yes, you did. And you also made a difference at the school. So it's a little bit of a lie to assume that you didn't make a difference at the school. But when you're teaching these, I'm guessing, kids that may have dropped out of high school for maybe whatever reason, or older adults who need to get that GED to get some completion, to get some confidence to move forward, I think you find a little bit more juice in that particular role. Am I right or wrong?
Correct.
Yeah. So who do you most want to help? Say it.
I'll say adults.
Yeah.
Adults or older. Mm-hmm. Older people transitioning into that phase.
Mm-hmm. Specifically helping
because
them.
It's not that I don't connect with the kids in high school where I teach. It's just, at the end of the day, it's kind of, I'm not using all my skills. I'm not fully tapped.
What are those skills that you would like to use more?
My critical thinking. I'm a very good people person, talking with people. I'm good at adaptability, adapting to change. I'm good at looking at the big picture and finding multiple routes to get there.
Okay.
And what's most efficient.
That's,
I have a math background, by the way.
Right, but that's what you love most about teaching is coming up with a solution for a different scenario. Because the way you're going to teach one person is differently than how you're going to teach another. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have more flexibility on that in that GED program than you do in the public school?
I have a lot.
That's the key. I think you love flexibility to allow yourself to adapt. You said you're really good at being adaptable. And that flexibility is what's key to allow you to adapt in teaching people. So I think you've got to be maybe on the community college level. I'm going to be very careful, Cisco. When I make a recommendation, it is more to get verification back from you. I don't want to paint you in a corner. But I think if you were to teach in a trade school or teach on the community college level or even state college level or whatever, and you had more freedom and you had older people in there who actually wanted to be in the classroom, so therefore you feel like when you instruct them on something and they get it, they light up like a Christmas tree, and that's what gives you the juice. Tell me what's wrong or right about what I just said.
That sounds good. The only thing I think missing would be financial, but I guess moving towards community college or that would help that.
What do you make right now as a public school teacher coach?
45.
You don't think you can make 45 teaching on the community college or small state college level or trade school?
I do.
I know you can. But how about you just go verify that so that your fear is now silly? How about that? It's like looking into the closet when your kids are saying, Dad, there's something in the closet, right? So
yeah.
You need to go verify what are the multiple places. And just for discussion right now, let's give you three. Your homework assignment is to go do some research on community college, pay benefits, state college, even some smaller colleges or whatever. You're in a good area in Austin, Texas, even trade schools. See what the pay is. I'm pretty certain that you can match that 45 and also go beyond that over time. I'm very certain about that, but you go verify that for yourself and keep in mind you love this GED thing. So I'd keep doing that on the side just to keep putting money away. And I want to just summarize this entire conversation, Cisco, with this. The number 4 ranked group of millionaires in America today were teachers. So nobody's going to call me anymore and go, Ken, I love teaching, but the problem is money. No, it isn't. There are a lot of teachers out there that are net worth millionaires because they live Dave Ramsey's principles. They follow the baby steps and they save. And they're okay taking their time getting to be net millionaires. You know why? Because they love their work. And you, sir, love your work. You're just in the wrong place. You're doing the right thing. It's just in the wrong place. Practice the proximity principle right now to get you where you want to go. Do some research on at least those three areas that I gave you, their pay, and then find some people that work in those areas and get around them and ask them questions. Learn everything about the path, the process, the pitfalls, the pros, the cons. And now you're armed with information. Now you can move forward. All right, folks, time flies when you're having fun. And boy, oh boy, are we having fun. Good news. More coming. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Listen, folks, we talk a lot on the show about making your next career move and taking the next step toward meaningful work. But I know it can be pretty hard to think about taking a step forward when you're stressed out about money in the here and now. Ramsey Plus will show you how to budget every single dollar of your income so you can use it to its full potential, plus so much more. And here's the best part. Right now, you can try Ramsey Plus for 30 days completely free. If you're in and you want to start Ramsey Plus for free, text Ken Plus to 33789. Shining the light on your path to fulfilling your purpose. I am Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited to have you with us. Oh, we're new, folks. Well, we're not really that new. been doing this thing nationally on SiriusXM for a couple years now. Here we are on your radio station, and boy, oh boy, are we having fun. Different kind of radio show. This is talk radio that's going to lift you. How about listening in to other men and women who are in similar situations that you're in? They're sick and tired of being sick and tired of going to work on Monday. Enough is enough. They want to get on purpose. They want to do the work that they were created to do and live the life that they were created to live. 844-747-2577. All right, we go to Rush, who's on the line in Sedalia, Missouri. Rush, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
How's it going?
It's going well.
You're calling, yeah.
All right, my man. Yeah. How can I help today?
So I'm kind of in the discovery mode right now. I'm a high school teacher. I'm on my fourth year teaching. I teach some industrial tech classes. And I've been really, like, for this past year, been in search of, like, more of a, just a purpose behind what I do. And if it's a different career or if it's maybe trying to grow up and get an administration, I mean, there's I have a few interests that kind of hit me. And I've been meeting with this guy in my church. Kind of, he's kind of been like a mentor to help me out. And, like, on the God side of things, I kind of understand my purpose, like the overall mission of, like, being a Christian and, like, sharing God's love and all that stuff with God's will. But I'm trying to figure out with my career, though, like,
yeah,
I don't know where I should go. And I have interest, like, I have interest in, like, woodworking and building stuff. And then along, I've always kind of had interest a little bit in politics and, like, just, I don't know, managing some kind of business organization. I just really like the idea of just being able to set goals and strive for success and help others.
Okay, great.
And the opportunity to build. So
great. Well, then
that's kind of where I'm at.
All right. So let's focus on this phone call on really, truly uncovering your heart. And Rush, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to trust me for the next few minutes. And I want, for the first time maybe in your life or first time in a long time, to not use your brain on these answers. Do you understand? So don't disqualify any answer based on your fears, your doubts, your insecurities. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because I think you're a guy who knows exactly what he's passionate about, and let's figure it out, okay? But before we get to that, let's go over to the area of talent. For those who struggle to identify passion, it's always good to discuss talent, what you do best, and what others have always complimented you on, because there's always a connection between what we do best and what we love to do most, all right? So tell me, if I interviewed this guy that you've been talking to in your church, your mentor, teachers, parents, good friends, and they were telling me stuff that they knew that you weren't going to know because they were just free to tell the truth, what would they tell me that Rush is best at doing? Go.
I would say he's dependable. I can get stuff done when given a task. I have no problem. I'm willing to put in the hard work to get it done just because I feel like it's the right thing to do.
Okay.
I'm trustworthy. I'm kind of, my pastor actually described me one time as just being, like, brutally honest.
Good.
Like, I mean, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but if it came down to it, I'll tell you how it's going to go.
Good. So let me be brutally honest with you. You just gave me two strengths, which are character traits. So those are character, which again, that falls within talent. It's a strength, though. Those are what I consider strengths. I want to know talent and skills.
Oh, man, I'm an okay tennis player. I'm also the tennis coach at school, so I'm decent at tennis. I'm okay at building stuff. I think I can. It takes a little while, and sometimes I fail, but I'm always persevere in getting it done.
You're naturally good. See, you told me woodworking when you started off the phone call.
Yeah, I enjoy that. Yeah.
And right, building, but building, listen, stuff,
whether it's woodworking or other things.
But so. Rush, you enjoy it because you're pretty good at it. All you know when you start, nobody likes to do woodworking if you're awful at it. So you've got some self-confidence issues. Am I right?
You can say that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to. I mean, it's a truth.
Yeah.
I can hear it. So what else? Besides woodworking, what else do you do really well?
I'm really good at coming up with ideas to solve things. And I always have 1,000 ideas on inventions all the time I want to pursue. I'm good at that. I'm always thinking about the next thing. I don't know why, I just do.
No, I love that. No, it's the way you're wired. So accept it. It's not a problem. So instead of going, what's wrong with me? I'm always thinking of new things to solve, new ideas. Go, hey, that's a good thing. And by the way, you did perk up when you started talking about that. So now, let's move over to passion, work that you love. You told me you were passionate about woodworking, building, things of that nature, politics and leading, and you're in a teaching position right now. So within the framework of woodworking, politics, and leading, those are things that you said you were very interested in and passionate about. What do you love most about your current teaching job? We know it's not your dream job, but tell me of the things that you like or love, tell me what they are. Go.
So my class, I teach a lot of project-based learning. Projects. So what I really enjoy is the fact that seeing a kid or seeing someone take something, I give them the tools necessary, whatever tools they are, and they're actually just to build something from scratch. I think that's more powerful than a worksheet or a book work.
Yeah.
I think that's really big, because they're, even though, for example, a good project I do in my classes, I have all the kids 3D print and design fidget spinners. And even though that's been around for a while, that invention, I still go and tell them, I mean, you've made the first of its kind uniquely on how it is. I think that's a big deal. I mean, yeah. The first, just bringing something into this world that's never been before, I think that's really important.
Okay. Pause. Rush, I think, based on what I've heard so far, that your passion for woodworking, the fact that you do have, I believe, a passion for teaching, and teaching woodworking, or let me bring in the third thing on your passion list, which was leading. Leading teaching. There's the connection. You're teaching students right now, but ultimately you love the idea of leading. I could see you moving into the construction, renovation, carpentry, some type of world where things are being created that are in fact solutions, and you love that. It's the way you think. And I think leading your own construction company one day could be, I'm not saying it is, but could be pretty amazing. Yes or no?
It's close. I think it's really close.
Then tell me what it is.
I think it's more on a small scale. Outside of construction, like, I really like just building things in terms of, like, a small scale. Like, what if I started a business and built just little wooden, I don't know, some kind of thing people use. And I had this idea for, like, a wooden tennis racket. I'm trying to build a wood bin or carve, or a carving gun stock. So I think that's really cool. But I don't know how to do it, but I like to learn.
Wait. Ding, ding, ding. Rush, we got breakthrough. Rush, we broke through. So I just told you that maybe owning your own construction or restoration or, whatever business might be a fit. What do you think? And you went close. And then you identified for everybody who was listening what you really want to do. You want to do some type of custom, vintage, woodworking type stuff like that. Because you talk about wooden tennis rackets, that's a throwback, and I'm all about the throwback. Joe's sick and tired of me talking about the Mecum Auto Auctions. That's what I watch late at night. That's how exciting my life is, by the way. I watch car auctions, Joe. Why? Because I love classic cars. Why do I love classic cars? Because I like throwback stuff. You like throwback stuff, Rush. I got to tell you, buddy, we got ourselves a side business you need to launch today. And you go, wait, I don't know how to do it. Learn how to do it. Practice the proximity principle. Get around some guys that are doing custom woodworking in your area. Sedalia, Missouri. Trust me, somebody's doing it. Somebody's doing custom woodworking. Somebody's doing vintage products somewhere. Start hanging around those guys and gals that are doing that and start getting training and allow yourself to learn, because you do have the basic skill to do it. So allow yourself to learn how to do it and start doing a wooden tennis racket. See if you can sell it to the local tennis club. You start finding people who play tennis all the time, you know, walk around with these vintage tennis rackets. We got a guy on the Entree leadership team here at Ramsey Solutions. Name's Jeremy. Guy's got a great side business doing custom baseball bats, which, by the way, you'll see one in the new studio, the new Ken Coleman Show studio. Why do I want an old school custom bat? Because it's old school. I mean, you know, listen, I mean, there are lots of people like me that would buy your stuff, Rush. So my homework assignment is exactly what I just told you. Go do that. Launch it on the side. Stay in the teaching position. Keep your juice going there. Remember, it is a platform by which you're going to step off into the dream job one day. Rush, you're on your way, buddy. You just told us all what you need to be doing. So go start doing it. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get more clarity for more of you coming right up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here with you. When it comes to looking for a job, most people would probably agree that the whole experience is not fun. But it doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets it. In fact, they've actually figured out ways to make the job search process better and easier. And candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's absolutely free. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Welcome back, America. This is where you go to get clarity and confidence so that you can courageously step out onto the path that you were created to walk on. The world needs you to be you. Stop trying to be somebody else. You want to know why you're stuck, confused, scared? Well, let's name it. I'm here for you. I'm your coach. I'll walk alongside of you because I know that you have the answers. You just got to put me to the test, dig them out of you, and let's uncover your heart. Because when we begin to discover what our heart is telling us, then we realize what it is, why it is, and then let's figure out how to make your why a reality. Back to the phones we go, 844-747-2577. Charles is on the line in Columbia Heights, Minnesota. Charles, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you doing today?
I'm living the dream, Charles. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
How can I help?
Well, I have a question for you. Right now, I'm currently a truck driver, and I really enjoy working with people. I'm looking to get into the HR management role. All of my degree, my degree is in culinary arts. So a lot of the jobs that I've looked at require that you have some type of bachelor's degree.
What would you call your degree in culinary arts? What is that?
Associate's degree in culinary arts.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good, good, good. All right. Keep going. And so everybody's saying you got to have a bachelor's in order for what to get what role specifically? What are you looking at?
Well, ultimately, long term, I would like to be an HR manager. That does come with years of, you know,
sure,
being in that role. Entry level, they have a couple of different positions as far as HR assistants, HR coordinators. So they do have entry level.
Right. But those require the bachelor's degree.
That's correct.
Okay.
So I was just curious, is there any way, or based on your experience, is there any way around that you would suggest?
Well, let me say this. I always think there's a way around that. And there are still, you know, gazillion companies that put out there, got to have a college degree. Although I've reported consistently on the show that you've got some big time companies like Deloitte and Touche, you know, just to name one, one of the largest accounting firms in the world, Amazon, Apple, Bank of America, they're dropping in some positions, they're dropping requirements for college degrees. So I got to tell you, there's a twofold answer. The first thing I want you to do is for those entry-level positions, I want you to go ahead and apply for them. Make them say, well, did you see the requirement that we needed a college degree? And you go, I did, but I got my associate's degree. I'm a successful guy in everything I've done, and I really want to get in this field, and I wanted to take a shot. I just know that there are more and more companies that aren't requiring college degrees, and for what I'm doing, I really need to learn on the job and take a shot at it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they might just give you an interview, and you might just have somebody who goes through the entire interview and then realizes, oh, you don't have a college degree. Well, I have my associate's in culinary arts. I don't have a bachelor's, but I really want to get in, and I know this business is really about people. And this business is something that, honestly, I'm going to learn more working for you than I'd ever learn in the classroom. Wouldn't it be fun to say that to somebody and kind of make them react to that? Like, just put the football in their hands and go, what you going to do with that?
Yes, sir. Definitely.
So that's one. That's one strategy. Okay?
Okay.
The other thing I want to press you on for a moment is, I tell you what. I'm going to give you I'm going to give you a follow-up to the first strategy before I move to the second one. The other thing I want you to research is, online HR training. I'm just curious what's out there. I have no idea what's out there, but I suspect there's somebody that's doing HR training online. I wonder if there's some courses and things. And I would just look into it. Is there an alternative path to being an HR professional that doesn't require a college degree? Have you researched that?
No, sir. Well, I did a little bit of researching on that. Just as looking locally in Minnesota,
right?
What schools locally offer HR classes? Yes.
Yeah, but my point is, I want you to dig deep and find out beyond just who's offering classes. I'm saying the first big thing is there an alternative path, or is there a path to being an HR professional that does not require a college degree? I'm going to tell you right now, I'll bet there are tons of HR people that don't have a college degree. So it might be, you know, as simple as you getting in with an HR agency that offers HR professionals. I would look into it. Find out what the pathway is. How many multiple pathways there are. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay. Yes, sir.
And then once you know, then you go, okay, well, I'm gonna go that route. I'm going to take an 8-week course that's going to get me qualified. I don't know if that exists, but I want you to know that you know that you know everything there is out there to become qualified, because you don't know right now. So you have more research to do. Now, here's the other piece I wanted to push you on. You mentioned that you want to be in HR because you love to help people. Why specifically HR? Give me the 20-second answer. Why do you think HR is what you have selected as the way to help people?
Great question. I was considering between HR and sales. I have done sales, door-to-door sales before in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed the face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
However, not open right now to working on a commission.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically was just praying about it and talking to God about it. Next thing you know, HR management came up, and I was like,
Good.
I'll look at it.
Right, but the thing that appeals to you about HR is that you're going to be working with fellow team members to help them with all the various issues that HR does. Am I right? That's the draw.
That's correct. Yes.
I'm going to suggest I want you to wrestle with another potential profession that to me is a combination of sales and this desire to work with people face-to-face. Okay? I'm going to throw this at you.
Yes, sir.
I want you to consider customer service. I want you to consider a customer service role where you're interacting with people. Yeah, it's just front of the gate there. You're right out there in front. We have an amazing team that work on what we call Ramsey Care at our office, and they're dealing with people on the phone and online that may have an issue with one of our products, or they've got questions and they need additional help. I just think you've got a servant's heart, and I think that's what you love most about this idea of being in HR. I just think you love human connection. Am I right or am I wrong?
That's correct. No, that's 100% correct. Yes, sir.
Well, I think you love helping people and seeing them with satisfaction and a smile. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. That is definitely correct. Uh-huh.
By the way, I can tell you're smiling. Can you hear it, folks? I mean, we just nailed what it is that you want to do. And guess what? You don't need a degree to get into customer service. And you can get in for a company working in customer service and move up to a management role where you're leading other people and helping them satisfy people and leave them with a smile. And then that warm-hearted chuckle is there every day for you when you get in the car. And you go, I can't believe I'm getting paid to take care of people.
Yes, sir. Now, definitely.
Now, Charles, I want you to consider that. I'm not trying to talk you into that, but that's what I'm hearing.
Okay, definitely.
You know, I think that's something to consider. Go ahead.
May I ask you one more question, please?
Sure.
So I did start listening to Mr. Dave Ramsey here about 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Funny story, I purchased the book in 2011, but I never read it. So I started listening to him about 6 months ago. I did start my baby steps, and I'm on baby step one currently.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on with the steps.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Don't stop in it. Yes. Sir.
No.
Okay.
The beautiful thing is, not only do I work for Dave, but I actually believe in those baby steps, and they work beautifully with what I'm teaching. Because you got to be able to fund the dream. You know, it does no one any good to pursue a dream when you're fighting debt. It's almost impossible. But as you keep clicking off those baby steps, so baby step one is to get that $1,000 saved up. I got a little bit of a buffer. I got a little bit of relief. That's huge for you right now. And you take your time, keep doing what you're doing, and then you look for a role that doesn't require and see. So now my advice is even more sound, to be honest with you. I just want you to go make some more money, and to the extent that you can be in customer service and move up the ladder in a company and keep making more money, if the HR thing keeps calling, and then you got to get that degree and there's no way around it, which I'm not convinced of, then again, this is why the baby steps are going to be there. They help you fund the dream. So don't stop the steps. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get more clarity for more of you coming right up. This is The Ken Coleman Show. It is a safe place for you, America, to talk about what it is you were created to do. This is a scary topic for so many people. It's just fearful. Because if you let yourself begin to talk about, what am I created to do? Because I don't think I'm doing it. That means some change could be in the near future. And few things lock us human beings up like change will do. Oh my gosh, it'll make the chest just feel like there's a 50-pound plate just sitting there on your chest. And it's scary stuff. I love when people call in and say, I don't know what my passion is. I go, yes, you do. And we're about ready to get it out. So give us a shot, shall we? Talk and just learn about you. And before you know it, you're going to make the connection. 844-747-2577. Storm is on the line in Phoenix, Arizona. Storm, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you today?
I am living the dream, Storm. How are you?
I'm good, but I need some advice.
All right.
I need to know how to get into the broadcasting industry without having a degree. That's pretty much my question.
Well, I got to tell you, you've called the right guy. I don't know if you know my story or not, but I don't have a degree. I do not have a degree in broadcasting. In fact, I don't have a degree at all. How about that?
Oh, okay.
See, there you go. Is it possible, Storm?
It would be.
It is absolutely possible. So here's how you do it. You're going to use the proximity principle. Have you heard me talk about it?
I have heard you talk about it, yes, sir.
You know it's a book, right?
Right.
A number one best-selling book, and I'm going to give it to you when we're done, okay? My gift to you. Because in that entire book, beyond telling you the five people and the five places you need to get around and in, you're going to hear a lot of my story and how I did it. But let's get the details from you. How old are you?
I'm 26.
26. And are you in a stable job?
Right now, no, sir.
Okay, well, that's the first issue. So I'm not concerned about you getting a broadcasting job yet. I just want you to be able to pay the bills. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is the dream in broadcasting? Just go ahead and paint the picture for me. If I could snap my fingers, give it to you today, what would be the role?
Okay, perfect. Late night talk show where I interview them about other celebs and things going in like current events and things going on online.
Great. So you want to be Jimmy Fallon? You want to be Jimmy Fallon?
So more like a Howard, more like that type of show.
Okay, you're breaking up really bad. Say that one more time.
I said more like Howard Stern.
Oh, okay,
like
great.
That type of late night show.
Okay, great. So more on the radio side of things.
Yes, but just like raunchy, like adult type late night show.
Oh, you want to do the raunchy broadcasting. All right. Yes. I don't hear that very often. I'm not a fan of that kind of broadcasting for the record, but I'm still going to help you out. Okay. Because I do think Howard's one of the great interviewers out there. So that's your thing. So what you need to do is you're going to have to create a resume over time of a guy who's good on a microphone. So you're going to start out doing anything and everything you can on a microphone, whether it be hosting local fundraisers, local gigs, working on Saturdays and Sundays, doing the news or the weather or the traffic for a local radio station. That's where you're going to have to get started, because over time, you're going to have to build up a resume, somebody who's very good live on a microphone. Do you understand?
Yes.
So that right there is not glamorous, and it doesn't pay a whole lot. That's why I want you to have the stable job. And if you could get a job in broadcasting, maybe where you're answering the phones or you're a receptionist at a radio station, and then eventually you go, hey, I'd love to get on the mic And I'll do weather. I'll do traffic. I'll come in and do the Saturday, the not fun shift, or the Sundays, and do that kind of stuff. You know, do late night news or whatever it is. You just want to get on a microphone in a radio format and maybe do some podcasts. Launch a podcast. Launch a version of what you want to do one day, but just do it now. That's less than $100 worth of equipment. And you can get a podcast out next week. You're not going to be interviewing celebrities per se. Maybe you can do that in Phoenix and get yourself around some well-known people in Phoenix. But you could start doing that and building that type of a show to begin to test, what do I want to do? How do I want to do it? What would be my version of Howard Stern? And begin to do that and let people consume it. Because a podcast costs you hardly anything to do, and you can begin to create a voice. But that's what you're going to have to do, anything and everything, to get yourself on the radio. And you're going to build. It's going to take time, and you're 26, and you've got time. But you're just going to have to build a resume, get more opportunities, and the proximity principle, which is my gift to you, it tells you exactly what to do. And you get the added bonus of following along my journey, how I got to where I am with, you know, been in New York, done my show live multiple times, Howard Studio right down the hall. And I'll say this, while I'm not a big fan of raunchy radio, I do respect Howard tremendously because he did buck the system. He did believe in himself. He did everything that he could. He hung around. He lived the proximity principle as well. So you can get there, and you don't have to have the broadcasting degree. In fact, broadcasting is one of the few industries where you can get tremendous notoriety and build a good platform, and nobody cares if you've ever darkened the door of a college classroom. So that's what you do. So read the book and apply it. Let's go to Dan, who's on the line in Flint, Michigan. Dan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. Hello, Dan.
Ken, how are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Great. How can I help?
Well, I'm a new listener to the program. Probably only been listening about a month or so.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, my passion is definitely in the aviation field. I've been a pilot for a lot of years. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, with the economic downturn from a couple of years ago, these new federal regulations have locked me out of my industry. So that being the case, I've been in kind of a plan B career for probably about 10 years now. My wife and I recently completed baby step 3.
Great.
I'm sole provider for my wife and our 2-year-old son. Uh-huh. And kind of feeling stuck in my current job.
What is the current job?
Quality control.
How much money are you making?
About 70 a year.
How much did you make as a pilot?
Significantly less than that.
Oh, significantly less?
Yes.
Interesting. So why did you choose quality control as the plan B? Was there a certain amount of passion? Obviously, you've got the talent to pull it off, but was there a certain amount of passion there for that kind of work?
It was kind of where I ended up just landing.
Oh, okay, great. All right. So let me ask you this. Have you done any research on what a pilot can make in the private aviation industry?
I have. Yep.
How much?
Significantly more than I'm currently making here.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Do you love flying?
I do.
You miss it like crazy, don't you?
Nope.
Do you know what the path is to become a pilot in the private aviation industry?
Yeah, pretty much.
Then why aren't you pursuing that?
Because of the, again, I stated the federal regulations have changed, and kind of locked me out of that path.
How? I don't understand. What am I missing? How have the federal aviation regulations prohibit? How are they prohibiting you from becoming a private pilot?
Private aviation requires a great deal more hours of experience than I currently possess, and the companies are legally not able to hire me.
Yeah, but how long would it take you to get those additional hours?
Probably a number of years.
How many years?
3-4.
Okay. Are you willing to do what it takes? The answer is yes. Hey, wrong guy to call today, Dan, because it took me 9 years. Right, Joe? 9 years from the time I started my little broadcasting class in Atlanta, Georgia. 9 years before I debuted the Ken Coleman Show on Sirius XM, a national show. So if it took me 9 and I was willing to do it, boo-hoo about 3 to 4. You got a good solid job right now making 70 grand. You can put the money away over time, get a second job, put all that money after you get through the baby steps and you're rock and rolling. I don't care if it takes you 5 years. You can be flying again and making a lot more money. Your words, not mine. 3 to 4 years. Are you willing to do what it takes, people? Are you willing to wait as long as it takes? And we're talking about 3 to 5 years, and this guy's back making great money doing what he loves. Please. He's willing to accept mediocrity because he's not willing to wait 3 to 5 years? Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you do matter. You do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.